Would you say you're a gossip? There, I don't know. I feel like there are levels of gossiping. We all do it to a point. But when you spill the tea all the time, it can start having consequences for your relationships, romantic or otherwise. So let's talk a little bit about gossiping this morning with a relationship coach from The Sugar Doctor, Tara Thomas. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya.
You have had a bit of a perspective change on gossiping.
That's true. When we first talked about doing this topic, I would have come on and very clearly said, it's terrible, never do it. Ruins relationships, but I've learned some things.
Okay,
let's talk. We started talking about it.
Let's talk about it. What is gossiping? Like, what is it at its heart, at its core?
Yes, I think this is the key to my change of position, where originally I would have defined gossip as being, you know, sharing juicy details or rumors or, you know, private things that you know about someone else. But what I've discovered is that social scientists who study gossip have a much broader definition, which is that gossip is simply sharing or speaking about others who aren't there. So what that means is that brings in like a whole spectrum of different information, not just private juicy details about someone, but also you know, general social information, what someone's been doing, where they've been, what they said, time you've spent with them, maybe they helped you move house on the weekend. All of that social information is included now in, you know, that term gossip.
Yeah, because potentially, like, effectively that is talking about someone behind their back, but not in a malicious way that we use that phrase to mean.
Yeah, exactly right. You're sharing, I mean, you could be sharing a great achievement, someone's had a promotion, someone's done something lovely for you. So you could be sharing any, or just even, you know, oh yeah, I went for coffee with Kaya last week. So that's fairly neutral information. So you're sharing social information about someone who's not there. That end of the spectrum where we're talking about the malicious or, you know, sharing confidences, sharing private information, I'm still staunchly against that, Kaya.
Yeah, 100%.
No position change there. Yeah, just I have an expanded understanding now of actually the importance of sharing that kind of information.
Well, and it is interesting because that's what we do with language, right? We take a term like gossip and we put a meaning on it that is actually a lot narrower than what that actually is.
You're exactly right. And as you sort of said in your intro, you know, looking at reality television and looking at shows that are built around that specific definition of gossip, that sort of ties into our cultural consciousness, that that's what that means, the drama and the intrigue and the, you know, conspiracies even.
The drama is like the key to reality
that's
television,
right.
And they do it on purpose.
Exactly right.
So why do we do it, good or bad?
Yeah, so some of the positive reasons that we share gossip really come from our evolution as humans. We're very social creatures and we share with each other our knowledge. We share about resources that other people have. You know, hey, Kaya's collected a whole bunch of berries this summer, so in winter, you know, we might go and share a cave with her, or people's behaviour and beliefs. And the result of that is that the sharing of that social data allows us to build our communities and build our networks, so feel like we're part of something bigger. And it allows us to, you know, you're referencing other people, so you're bringing them in. You know that they're part of your community. It allows us to build our understanding of others, so it can increase our trust and accelerate connection, or it could decrease it. So, for example, I trust you, and then you tell me that you really trust this other person who's in your life, and naturally then my orientation toward that person is that they're more trustworthy than if they were a stranger. And the opposite, you know, if you tell me a story about someone who you work with or someone who is part of your community and they've done something that was unhelpful or untrustworthy, then my orientation toward that person would be less likely to trust them. So this is building reputation amongst humans.
Yeah.
And it acts as a behavioural management tool. You know, we know that we'll be spoken about, so we moderate our own behaviour. And also we learn about other people, and that allows us to navigate the world. I think it's more like a collective understanding of social communities.
Yeah.
It's not just our personal interactions, it's also yours and your friends. And in that way, we moderate communities.
That's a very, emotional side of it. Do we know if this does anything for us physically?
It does. So some researchers have had a look at brain imaging. So you can see increased activity in the prefrontal cortex, which is where our kind of complex social behaviours are processed. So we know that gossip isn't just a casual thing. It's something that really requires us to engage with it. And they've also studied the different effects on people's heart rates of gossiping. So they found that passive participation, which is more like, you know, someone's just kind of telling you about something.
blurting it at you, yeah.
Blurting it at you, spilling the tea, can increase your heart rate. You feel a little bit anxious about hearing that information, not really certain about, you know, where that puts you. And then the opposite, active participation, where you're speaking about it, can decrease someone's heart rate and allow their nervous system to relax somewhat. So I guess that kind of ties in then, Kaya, with the idea that sometimes even sharing something that is dramatic is important for our personal health. You know, the ability to vent something and get it off your chest and making sure that you're doing that in an appropriate way.
Yeah, and you can see how then that can become addictive. If it makes you feel good, then there's something in that that speaks to that addictive side that we all can have.
Absolutely. It's the getting of significance. You feel important because, you know the secrets. You know what's happening. You're in proximity to something exciting and something dramatic, and that really becomes addictive for us too. So it's, you know, quite a nuanced discipline, I think. It's a social skill to be able to share information in a way that's pro-social, that keeps us safe, that keeps everything regulated, versus like escalating drama.
Mm. All right, so when it's bad, what does that look like?
When it's bad, that looks like sharing confidences, sharing something that's private with someone else. And we all have very different definitions of that. So I often see people share things about their partners that, you know, in a social situation that I think, oh, I wonder if they would be okay with that. It also looks like sharing information that's not very, doesn't reflect well on someone, that maybe you don't need to share. It's not pro-social in that you're not keeping someone safe. I'm not keeping you safe by saying, oh, you know, Doblog's failed his exam last week, or so-and-so is getting divorced. I'm not keeping us socially safe by sharing that. That's just gossip for the purposes, you know, drama.
Yeah.
And that really reduces trust, because if I hear someone saying, you know, not only do I not trust you because you're sharing my information, but there's this other side of it where when you're with a friend and they're sharing someone else's private information, there's a part of us that starts thinking, huh, like, are you sharing my?
What are they saying about me when I'm not here?
Yeah, if you're sharing this confidence, and I'm pretty sure they don't want you to tell me, then what are you sharing about mine? Mm. So it really reduces trust, and it begins to erode relationships and communities as well.
How can we break the cycle if we are finding ourselves in a bit of a gossip cycle?
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard because especially when you have a relationship with someone where that's kind of a central part of the conversations that you have, you know, that's the way that you relate to each other. Brené Brown calls it common enemy intimacy, which I think is really funny. Like, we're friends because we hate the same people. So when we come together, we're going to talk about, oh, they did this time and they did that time. So in order to break that cycle, firstly, you want to become aware that you're doing it and think, oh, you know, like, why am I sharing this information? What am I building up someone? Or am I elevating them? Am I trying to undermine them? What am I getting out of sharing this? And how is it making me feel? How is it making that person feel? And how is it implicating our broader relationships? So you want to inquire within you why you're doing that. And you want to check, you know, if they heard me speaking about this, would they be comfortable? Because I think we speak about people very differently when they're present to when they're not.
As the passive person, the person who might be getting blurted to, do we have a role in being like, yo, come on now, why though?
Yeah, exactly. I love the way you say that. I mean, you can just be relaxed like that. It doesn't need to be a confrontational explanation of why you don't want to hear it. Just be kind and clear and say, hey, I'm a bit uncomfortable about hearing that. You know, maybe they wouldn't like you to share that. or, as he said, why those? Come why? On, or just change the topic.
Yeah, let's talk about
you
something
don't
else.
Even need to engage. You can just change the topic. I personally share with my friends at times, you know, like I feel like you share some private things and I don't really feel comfortable about that. Maybe we can talk about different things, but you don't need to go to that level. You can just change the topic and move on. And then notice when you leave, how do you feel about that person? Do you feel like you trust them more or less? And that all starts repatterning the way that you speak about people.
And perhaps if we do find ourselves, you know, gossiping, because we can all fall into the habit very quickly, like it's no shade, it happens so easily, sure. Humans are complex. Is it a sign that perhaps something else is up that we need to address?
Yeah, I think so. I think sometimes if you feel like you're particularly saying the same things over and over again about a particular person, maybe there's a way that you need to address it. Maybe that's a red flag for you. Hey, do you know what? There's something happening here that needs to be resolved. Or sometimes you can't resolve it. Sometimes there's someone at work and they're all about the drama and it really pushes your buttons and you need to get that off your chest regularly. And that's okay as well.
Yeah.
Just make sure that when you're doing that, you're not, you know, running through the office telling everyone everything every time. Maybe just go home and privately speak to a friend. Right. So the difference between the positive or the negative or the neutral sharing of information isn't so much about the content of what you're sharing, but it's about who you share it with and the way that you're using that information.
Let's finish with the wisdom of Kerry from Muswellbrook, who says, I tend not to say anything about other people, which I wouldn't want them to know, I had said. Talking to friends can be useful to find out if one of us is having a tough time and may need extra support and they don't like to ask for it. But overall, no nastiness. Enough of that in the world already, says Kerry from Muswellbrook. Hear, hear.
I agree. Nailed it, Kerry.
Tara, great to chat. Thank you. We'll do it again in a fortnight.
My pleasure.
Tara Thomas there, relationship coach with The Sugar Doctor, talking all things gossiping.